God. That's wonderful. Amen. Because He's wonderful. Thank God. That's wonderful. Amen. John chapter 3. I've been thinking on this here. John chapter 3. And two verses I want to preach from. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're here not saved, if you never have been saved, I want to tell you, I finally found the verse to tell you how to get saved. Amen. I've always said it's hard to tell sinners how to get saved, that the gospel's a declaration, and through the gospel's declaration, the Holy Ghost makes it real to them and how to get saved, how to come to Christ. But I found the verse on how to get saved. Amen. How you can be saved this morning. I thank God as clear as any verse in the Scripture. And we want to look at it this morning, if God will help us, and preach from there, from this good Word of God. In chapter 3 of John, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, a religious man, the ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee that came to Jesus by night. And of course, they was having a conversation. Jesus told him that you must be born again. And of course, Nicodemus, being a ruler of the Jews, was not of understanding in what the Lord was speaking of. And he said, how can a man be born when he's old? And Jesus said, you must be born again. You got to be born again to see the kingdom. You got to be born again to see it. Amen. And basically, that's what he said. You can't see it until you get born again. And by the new birth, when a man's born from above, he has an understanding of this kingdom of God that's within him, and now he's born into the family of God. But in John chapter 3, in the last, as Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he said in verse 14, in verse 15, these words. If we just stand this morning for the reading of the Word of God, it just feel like God to have us do that. And Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I pray the blessing and power of God would be upon it. Glorify Your Son. Help us to preach from our heart. And may God You be glorified. May the Holy Ghost use the message and speak to hearts. And may God we see great things done. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm preaching this morning from John chapter 3 and verse number 14. John chapter 3 and verse number 14. Jesus gave Nicodemus an Old Testament record. As he was speaking to him about being born again, he then went to an Old Testament record on how to be saved. Now we find here three things from this verse this morning. I want to preach, if God will help me this morning, on look and live. Look and live. I want to say, first of all, in this text, the Bible said, and as Moses. Now, I want to say, first of all, we find the person of the law. It's Moses here. Moses is a picture or type of the law of God. It was Moses in whom God gave the law to. And God, my friend, said they have Moses. Moses is a type of the law. I want to say a few things about the law here. But first of all, I want to say these people had been bitten by serpents. If you read the record, God put fiery serpents among them in the camp of Israel because of their murmuring, because they blamed the man of God. And God judged them by putting serpents among them. And they were dying, the Bible said. So that's the picture here. They know the record how that many of the Israelites were being bit and dying. And the Bible said, But here, as Moses lifted up the serpent. And so we find the person of the law. First of all, the law says, I can't save you. Moses couldn't save them people. There's never been anybody saved by keeping the law. Why? Because they came. There wasn't a lawmaker living that could have got them people healing. Amen. There's not a law in this Bible, friend, that can save you. There's not a commandment that's ever saved a man. That's why God said it's by grace. It's not of works. And the thing here, the law couldn't save. Hey, Moses could have read the law to them, but it would not have saved them from death. When we look at the person of the law, we find the man here, thank God, that was mighty with God, was a meek man, but he couldn't save them from dying. From serpent bites. Amen. Come to say this, the law says I can't stop judgment. Amen. In fact, the law's the testimony of judgment. The law was given that you might see the judgment. And the law can't stop judgment. God judged the Israelites in this text. And we find that God says here that they're dying because they're breaking the law of God. But the law couldn't stop judgment. The law couldn't lift the judgment. And my friend Moses couldn't save them. Moses couldn't stop the judgment that was upon them. Even though he cared and even though he's a leader, he could not stop the judgment that was upon them Israelites. Let me say this, the law says I can't stand in for you. Moses couldn't go and say, God, I'll take their place. It wouldn't have worked. Dear neighbor, they had to have something else besides the law to take their place. The law wasn't never given to take the place of a man. The law was given, praise God, as a rule, but also as a schoolmaster. And my friend, a reproof to us to show us that it does condemn us. And it can't save us. And the law condemns sinners to die because it can't deliver. And here's a man, this Moses, a type and picture of the law. He couldn't save, it can't save. And the person of the law, my friend, can only look by. And my friend, I see him die in judgment. And that's what the law does for us. The law that says you're guilty. The law says the judgment's upon you. The law says you can't get out and I can't take your place. The law can't save. Hey man, boys, I'm telling you, aren't you glad this morning? Thank God you found that out. That the law of God is holy, is perfect, is just. But it can't take the place of a sinner. It can't redeem a sinner. Oh, the writing said, for the when the law, my friend, was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. To condemn sin in the flesh, that His Son. To condemn sin in the flesh. He kept the law. He's the only one that did. Hey, and He did die as a sinful, as sinner's soul for sinners and for sin on Him. But friend, the law couldn't do that. The law couldn't deliver. And here's people dying in the wilderness from a snake bite. And here's a lawman, a holy man, but he could not stand in their place. He couldn't deliver. And you know what? Every man will give an account of himself to God. I can't take the place of nobody else. You can't take the place of nobody else. Can I tell you this morning, there's the person of the law mentioned in this verse. And it'll say this. There's the purpose of the lifted in this verse. Notice if you will, there was a serpent that was lifted up. Why did God use a serpent to lift up? I want to say, first of all, notice the biting serpent. It first bit in the garden. Was it not the serpent that appeared to Eve in the garden? That said, hath God said? And the first bite of the serpent was in the garden when sin came into the world and death by sin. And we find the serpent biting. God sent fiery serpents among them Israelites in judgment.
Testament. And them serpents started biting the people within the camp of Israel. And they started dying from them poisonous serpents. The word fiery, it takes the meaning of poisonous. And them poisoned serpents and had venom of sin in them people. That, listen, friend, that's why people's dying today. They've been bit by the serpent of sin. By the serpent, my friend, of disobedience. And when they, my friend, disobey God, they die in their sin because they've been bit by sin. They have a problem with sin. You see, the reason people go to hell is sin. I know the root of it's unbelief. But the whole thing is sin. That mankind in general, amen, has been bit by sin. And when them serpents bit them people, they had been bit by them serpents, which is a type of sin. The poison of sin got in them, amen. And that's what's wrong with you this morning, the poison of sin. Can a leopard change his spots? He never will, and he never can. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? He never can and he never will. He can't do it because that's the way he is. And you're a sinner and that's the way you are because you've been bit by sin. And I want to say it was a biting serpent. But not only is it a biting serpent, but it was a bruising serpent. Notice, my friend, that it brought death. It was the bruise of death that sin brought. If you go to look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, what was the prophecy there? It was the bruise of the head of the serpent and the heel of the son of the living God. Listen, friend, he bruised the dominion and the authority and the power that the devil had. He destroyed the works of the devil. But the devil, hear my friend, listen, it's a bruising serpent because of the bruise that the devil, my friend, put on. It brought forth death. There had never been death before because the man was perfect. But when the devil came in the garden, hey, it brought forth death when they bit the forbidden fruit, and it brought forth sin, and sin brought forth death, and man started to die. Amen. And that's exactly what they were doing in the wilderness. They were dying. They were dying. They were dying. That's a bruise of death. That's what you're doing. You're dying in your sins. You don't see it, but your souls are dying, and it's a dying, and it's a dying. But because you've been bit by sin and the bruise of sin, and the bruise of death on you by the serpent has bit you, amen. That's right. Notice this. This is what I want to get right here. It's a biting, it's a bruising, but I want to tell you what, it's a brazen serpent. You see, when God says, Moses goes to God and says, Lord, all my people, these people of yours, this nation of people, there's many being bit by these fiery serpents that you put amongst them. And there's some laying dead in the camp. And there's some that's about to die. And God, what do you want me to do? And God says, Moses, he said, I want you to make a serpent of brass. I want you to make it out of brass. Hey, listen to this morning, friend. Amen. Notice the place of punishment. The place of the brazen serpent was in the wilderness. Hey, it wasn't, my friend, in the city. It was in the wilderness. Hey, where Jesus died, it wasn't it was outside the city. It was on an old, my friend, hill. Golgotha's hill. And he died there. He died in shame. But it had, listen, he died in a rough place. He didn't die in a city, my friend. He said, let him be crucified. And they crucified him. Outside the city. That's where it was. It was in the wilderness. Hey, it was in a rough place of sin. It was the world of sin. That's where Jesus died. And that's where he's got to lift it up at. Amen. Can I tell you this? He's lifted up, thank God, in the wilderness where everybody was at. Amen. Now it's in the world. Amen. That's right. The place was in the wilderness where he was to lift up that serpent. Amen. That's right, brother. It's a picture of Jesus coming to where mankind is. It wasn't off somewhere where nobody was. It was lifted up right amongst them, right there in the wilderness. Thank God. I'll tell you, I'm glad he did it right amongst me, aren't you? Hey, thank God the gospel got me to where he was. Hey, thank God where he's lifted up. It was in the place where I needed. It was in the place where you needed. That's the place, thank God, that he lifted him up, friend. It's the place of Calvary. And he had to come to you, amen. Thank God, that's how you got in. That's right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, thank God. He lifted him up in the place of the wilderness. He done it right where you was at. Amen. Thank God. He had you still be in your sin. Thank God. Notice the place of the brazen serpent. Number two, notice the punishment. It was made of brass. Brass symbolizes judgment throughout the Bible. Remember the brass, my friend that Goliath had on, he had on brass. It was judgment. Amen. It was brass that Samson had to put on after they put out his eyes. In fact, the Bible said his feet are like fine brass. That symbolizes the judgment of the Son of God. It's brass. They punished it. You know what? Listen to this thought. The same thing that bit him is the same thing that was on the pole. Hey, the same thing that bit us, the same thing Jesus died for on the cross. Hey, brother, he punished him. Oh, you say, Brother Calvary, listen, will God punish sin? Well, let me ask you, did he punish sin? He punished sin on his own darling son. Oh, holy son of God, he punished sin upon him. He put our sin upon him. He put your sin and my sin and the world's sin upon him. And he became a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. Every dirty, rotten deed we ever did. Every filthy act of sin we ever committed was laid upon the lovely Lamb of God. And God punished him on Calvary. And that's why the serpent hung there. He was what was cursed. Amen. That's right. Praise God. So we see it symbolizes judgment. My friend, Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, my friend, for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by His stripes we are healed. Amen. I'm just saying this morning, dear neighbor, it's the punishment. Amen. The brazen serpent, it was lifted up. And it was the punishment upon sin. Amen. That sin, He said, lift it up. I want to say this morning, dear neighbor, the punishment of God was upon His Son at Calvary. Dear sinner, I want to tell you this morning, this is a Bible truth. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Laid it on him. He put it on him.
Yes.
Right. He put your sin and my sin upon him.
Yes, it is.
Well, that's the only way you can go free. So notice, if you will, the purpose of the lifted. We find not only the place of the punishment, but notice this, we find the pole. He used the pole. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
He said, put it, the brazen serpent on a pole as a type of the cross.
Right.
It must be lifted. That's what Jesus, now get this, that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus.
Yes.
He said, Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, as soon as he said that, that triggered a thought, no doubt in Nicodemus' mind, he went back to that record. He said, yes.
Yeah.
Them were them of my line.
Right.
Yeah. That in the camp of Israel one day, when they were dying, Moses lifted up the serpent on a pole.
Yes, sir.
And that pole, thank God, was made of wood. Thank God, made out of a tree. And they had to get the serpent on the pole. And my friend, you know why? Because people are dying. People's laying dead in the camp. Let Moses get him on the pole. There's no hope besides that. Hey, that's my remedy. That's my purpose. If I can just get you to get the serpent on the pole, get it on the pole, Moses. Get it on the pole. Lift it up. Then that's a dying. They need to see it on the pole. Amen. That's right. That's the only thing
that
you'll need to see this morning.
That's it.
You've been looking in the wrong place.
Amen.
To get saved.
Amen.
You've been looking at this man and this man and that's this woman it. And this woman. Amen. You've been looking, I'm telling you, don't look nowhere else but him.
Right.
Hey, thank God the pole's been lifted up. It was lifted up on Calvary. That's why he said even so much the Son of Man be lifted up, because he had to be lifted up. There's no other way that a man can be redeemed. No other way a man can be saved. And it was on the pole, brother, that the Savior was lifted up. Why? Because men are dying. So there's the purpose of the lifting. It was lifted for the dying. It was lifted for the depraved. It was lifted for the degenerate. It's been lifted for us.
Praise God. That's right. That's what the pole was lifted for. It was lifted for us. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said it was lifted. Thank God. And even so, Nicodemus, must the Son of Man be lifted? He's saying there as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness for dying people. He said, I got to go to Calvary for dying people. That's where I'm going. Thank God. Amen. And I want to say this. All right, the purpose of the lifting. But notice this. The promise of the life. In Numbers, he says to the bitten, there's hope at the pole. Now, I want to tell you this. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. There wasn't, this message wasn't given but for them that were bitten. If they hadn't been bitten, they wouldn't need to look.
That's right.
It was all for them, hey, that was bitten. Thank God, we was bitten. Amen. We was bit by sin. And what he's saying here is, it's those that's been bit. It's them that's in need of a physician. It's them that need to be saved. It's them that need God. It's them that need the Savior. That's who it's for. It's for them that's been bit. It's for them that's been bit. That's who it's for. He said, the promise of the life is to the bitten, the afflicted, who was about to die. You know, say this, it's to the beholder.
Yeah.
That's who life. He said, Moses, I want you to go take it and lift it up.
Yeah.
And I really believe this. I believe Moses took it. Praise God, he took it right there to where he was at.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get to where he was at.
That's right.
Yeah. And Moses said right there, boys. He said, look. Look at the serpent on the pole. Yes. God says you only have to look. God says just look. God says look and live. God says those that's been bitten, look and live. God says look and live, look and live, look and live. This message is to them that's been bitten. And all you have to do is behold it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I couldn't do nothing else. All they had to do was behold it.
That's it.
Good, that's all they had to do. Can't you not see them in this camp of a couple million people and serpents is loose in that camp and they've been bit and Moses comes through the camp holding that pole and that brazen serpent and crying, I got hope, boys, I got hope. I just got in touch with God and he said, hey, God, put this brazen serpent on this pole and you that's been bit, if you'll just look, you can live. You'll be all right.
That's right.
There's a lot of things I could preach right here. To nail false religion today. Because he didn't say you got to take catechism. He didn't say you got to be baptized. He didn't say you got to join the church. In fact, you can't do nothing. You're dying. You got to behold. You got to look. That's the only thing you can do. You can't do nothing else but look. Thank God, just look. Can I tell you the promise of the life here was not only to the bitten, but it was to the beholder. In fact, it says them that beheld. Been bitten. Died. That's the hope. Amen. That's the hope. But get this last one. I'm through this morning. Notice this here. Notice this here. You know, I say that's just the same point. Look to Calvary. Look to Christ. The question is, will you look? That's how to get saved, isn't it? Look. They say, how you get saved? Look. Behold, thank God, look to Jesus, look to Calvary, look to Him that's been lifted up. He said, if I'll be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me.
Yeah. Right.
And that was talking about Calvary.
That's it.
That's what they was talking about.
Sure. Yeah.
He wasn't talking about lifting him up in conversation, even though that's an application, but it don't mean that. It means if I'll be lifted up.
Right.
And then I'll say this. When they beheld the serpent, they lived. But this is one thing they had to do before they ever beheld the serpent. The promise is given to them that believe. They had to believe the message before they could ever behold the serpent.
That's right.
You've got to believe. the Word of God, the message. When Moses come through there and said, just look. All you got to do is just look. That's all you got to do. If you just look and look to the serpent, you'll live. Behold it, you'll live. They had to say within their own heart, and I'm going to tell you this, listen to me this morning. The problem with most of y'all, you never have been dying.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, you get to dying and going to hell, seeing yourself and going to hell. Thank God the message will come to you, and thank God you'll say, yeah, look, that's my only hope. That's right. And to them that believe, he says, they shall live. Chapter 3 and verse number 15 says that whosoever, he added that verse with it, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You're not going to die, but have eternal life by just looking to Jesus. That's where salvation is. It's in the person of Christ. It went as a sinner. You see yourself lost and dying without God.
Yes.
And you hear the message and you believe it in your heart. And you look to Christ.
Amen.
And believe Him in Him.
Amen.
Then you're saved.
That's it.
That's how you get saved.
Amen, brother.
That's how I got saved. That's how you got saved.
That's right.
Amen. I've told it and I'll tell it again. Back in the 1800s, there was a young 16-year-old man that was under conviction and had been to many churches. And a snowstorm on a Sunday morning, as he traveled, caused him to go into a Primitive Methodist church building. And there was about 10 people there that day. And there was a Methodist layman there that morning. The preacher couldn't make it because of the snowstorm. And that Methodist layman, being not an educated man, just took Isaiah 45 and 22 and said, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I'm God, and there's none else. And he looked out into the congregation and he saw a 16-year-old man and said, Don't look to me. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to religion, but look to Jesus. And that man said, I did look. And I did see. And I was saved. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Right.
Yes.
Hey, that's how you get saved.
That's it.
That's how he got saved. That's how I got saved. That's how you got saved.
Right.
Amen. Are you saved this morning? Right. Has there been a time you believe the message and you looked to Him completely and you beheld Him, thank God, as the only Savior and God, and you said, praise God, He came to save sinners, and I'm one of them, and I want Him, and I looked and I saved.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If you've ever looked, you remember what you saw.
Amen to that.
That's right. I'm going to tell you this, dear neighbor. You saw what they sung about.
Yeah.
His name is wonderful.
Right.
Amen. His name is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
It was there by faith.
That's right.
I received my sight.
Yeah.
And now I'm happy all the day.
Right.
If I wasn't saved this morning, dear neighbor, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd come to Jesus.
Yes.
And I look completely to Him and be saved. If I am saved, I want to tell it. I want to testify of it.
Yes.
What He's done for me. Praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning.